property, and also the bonds as they were advertised to be spent on Brook Run. And that legislation was successfully passed. That was a gigantic thing for this community. But I wanted to give my sincere thanks to Councilman Taylor, who has headed our legislative affairs, and our city attorney, Brian Anderson. But we appreciate your leadership, Tom, and your bulldogging and everything that was required to get this legislation passed. And I'd also like to thank, of course, our Representative Fran Miller and our Senator Dan Weber, both, of course, who were instrumental in getting that passed. There were a lot of others involved. Representative Wendell Willard was instrumental as well, and Representative Jacobs as well. And I know there's a lot of folks to thank, but I'd also like to thank our negotiating team. We have been negotiating with the county for what seems like 10 years, but it's been since the formation of this city to try to work out a resolution. And that team consisted of Councilman Danny Ross and Councilman Denny Shore and myself. Am I missing anyone, guys? That was it, right? But we certainly tried, and of course our city manager, Warren Huffacher. So I appreciate you guys spending the long hours to try to work on it. The second thing I'd like to point out is we've got some GPC students. We've got the scouts, who I've pointed out earlier at the work session, who are joining us for citizenship badge. So welcome for sticking around. I almost guarantee you won't be here all night, but feel free to leave when you see fit. But also some GPC students that our city manager, Warren Huffacher, teaches. So you guys out there, raise your hands, you guys and gals. All right, Chief, keep an eye on those individuals. Welcome to council, and Warren's taking good notes that you are in attendance. So that's got to be a half a credit or something, Warren.
It's 10 points on the test score.
No, it's not. Okay. It's just goodwill for the professor. All right, very good. And last but least, I just wanted to point out May 3rd is National Physical Activity Plan, Physical Fitness Day, I guess. Is that correct, Sharon? I know you're feverishly typing, trying to keep up with you.
Yes.
But that's May 3rd, and Doherty Baptist is having an open house, and they had sent me a word. Open house, if you want to go there, they're holding a lot of classes on physical fitness, and I certainly will be there because I need to be first in line on that particular agenda. And with that, I will move to my left to Councilman Ross.
Lemonade Days. We have the largest attendance ever for Lemonade Days this year, and I'd like to thank all of you for coming out and supporting Lemonade Days. Also, we had about a doubling of our bicycle ride around Dunwoody, which we rode an 8-mile tour. It worked very well this year. And I'd like to give a big call out to Chief Grogan and his staff for making Lemonade Days the safest and the best it could be. I had so many comments on our security there, and the way that everything was handled. And I want to thank Chief Grogan and his staff for all the hours that they put into making this a very successful year.
Well, very good. Thank you, Dan.
Robert. I'll just thank AADD, All About Developmental Disabilities, for the honor that they paid me this week, and I very appreciate it.
All right.
A couple things. Thanks. Robert was there, and I was there, and a few other hardy souls at the Dunwoody Nature Center on Saturday. There was an old Marine Corps saying, if it ain't raining, we ain't training. We were out there training in the pulling briars, weeds, and vines, and there's more in there than you could possibly count. But thanks for everybody that did that. It's one of the crown jewels of our neighborhood and of our city, so it's one of the things we really need to work on. If any of you ever feel like you got some time on your hands, please call Bill Tobin. His email is williamtobin@comcast.net, and he's the heads up the Dunwoody Volunteer Coordinators. And we could use a ton of volunteers. We've got a lot of work to do, and I will assure you that there isn't money in the budget to do all these things, so the more we can do, the better off I would like it. And along that line, I want to thank Dave Daniels for putting up one of the neighborhood watch signs over in Vernon North this week. He volunteered to do that, so that just saved us from having labor costs in the city. And the last thing I want to talk about is Bill Brandt's chamber. I happened to be up there, and Bill was right. I was one of the last souls to leave. I left with Glenn and Debbie there because I brought my printer up there at the end, and I caught the guy just before he was driving off, but the weather was not conducive to hanging around, and I think he made the exact right decision, Bill.
Very good. So you weren't the one complaining?
I was not. I was the guy standing to the right.
For the right. Just for the right. All right. Very good. All right, Councilman Taylor.
A couple things. One is, again, the Parks Bill passed 9:05 in the evening on Wednesday, but who's counting it? With Brian and I and several others have been working that issue in the legislature since 2006. It's 5 years, and I'd like it to get reimbursed from the roll aids and stuff like that. great thing. We're probably still going to have a few legal disputes with the county over that, but the bottom line is we got all the parks, all the associated bond money, as well as some other properties, and it's just a good thing for the city. Tonight on WSB at 11 o'clock, Linda Stover, who's a feature reporter for them, covered the North Metro SWAT team today in training. That's us, Sandy Springs, and Johns Creek. A lot of our officers were out there, and that way on WSB at 11 o'clock. Sometime during the 11 o'clock news, guys, if you're interested in watching it. I think that's about it. City Council meeting tonight, I'm involved with a legal dispute that could affect some things with the city. I'm going to have to recuse myself from any more comment or votes this evening. You'll see me up here. I usually don't say much anyway, but I'm going to say less tonight, so understand that.
All right, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Tom. With that, we will move on to the consent agenda. Robert?
Move we approve.
Second.
Second from Mr. Ross. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, consent agenda passes. Unfinished business. J1. Somebody here to speak to me.
Good evening, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm here to speak to you this evening about the resolution to name Pete Street Industrial Boulevard Access Road. This is the continuation of the public hearing held in February of this year, related to the idea that the Peachtree Industrial Boulevard Access Road does not bear an official name, which poses a challenge for public safety when they respond to incidents and accidents. So we would ask that you would, consistent with Chapter 23, name this road Peachtree Industrial Boulevard Access Road. You're available for questions.
Yes, Danny?
This was properly advertised.
Absolutely.
Move we approve.
Second.
All right, any discussion on that? Sure. All in favor, please say aye.
Sure.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Sure. Oh. Yeah, we need to read the resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I will wait. I'm thinking
about
time. I'm trying to make 24 tonight at 9 o'clock. It may be monumental. All right, go ahead.
A resolution naming the Northwest Access Road of Peachtree Industrial Boulevard.
Nicely done. Mr. Wittstein made a motion for approval. I'll second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is officially renamed. All right, J2. We have, what was I-5? Master Plan Contract Award that we voted in Georgetown, Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. What you have before you tonight is a motion to authorize the city manager to execute a contract with Urban Collage. The contract is for a total of $330,000. It is for master plans in relation to Dunwoody Village and Georgetown. This was done through a competitive process. 16 companies submitted proposals for the master plan, and the scoring and the interviews conducted finished out with Urban Collage being the number one rated firm, and they will be in partnership with the number two firm, which is House of Levine out of Chicago. There's several subcontractors that are also involved in the project, including Kinley Horn, who's going to be doing some of the public spaces and sidewalks. And they'll also be doing the traffic engineering. Robert Charles Lesser will be doing some of the market studies. And Market and Main will be handling some of our zoning analysis for the project. As a side benefit to it, Irma Collage and Trimley Horn both have Dunwoody residents that happen to be associated with the firm and will be working on this project. So Ray Strakowski with Kimberly Horn and Eric Bozeman with Urban Collage, while they weren't selected based on the fact they had some Dunwoody folks on it, certainly is a benefit to us with their familiarity with the community and also their professionalism. The one issue that that has come up through the work session deals with the funding for this, and I'll explain that to council. In the fiscal year 2010 budget, we did budget $250,000 for the plans. Subsequent to the approval of the budget, we were awarded an $80,000 grant through the LCI program from the Atlanta Regional Commission for the Dunwoody Village plan. What staff is recommending is to move ahead with the $250,000 that the city had intended to spend on the project and add the $80,000 in supplemental funding to the project to make up for the possibility that we could have deducted the $80,000 from the total cost. Staff is recommending deferring from this year's budget $100,000 that we had in for a phase one zoning study that can be also accomplished next year if the council so desires. That should make up for the possibility of deducting the funds. I think that these are two of the most important things we're going to do all year, and I think that the additional spending on this project of the grant funds is warranted. We will be using those funds possibly for various things, including expanding on our community input, expanding the number of meetings that we'll have related to these projects, but also as we get further into the process, there may be an opportunity to look further at different parts of the study area that would be considered catalytic development areas, increasing the use of the computer graphics and drawings so that we can use that to market the area post-study, and also possibly to use it to expand the work that we're planning on doing to update the zoning code relating to any changes that we may encounter as we go through the master plan. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions for Warren on this day?
Yeah, Warren, you know, we just talked about this in the work session. You know, I guess one of the problems I have as I look around is that, you know, all city governments, county governments, state governments, federal governments seem to, every time they get a few dollars extra, wherever it comes from, they find a place to spend it right away. And I guess that's one of my fears long range down the road that, you know, we don't ever want to be that way here in Dunwoody. We want to make sure that we're keeping a cap on it. And if $125,000 was good in the beginning, and we budgeted for that, we programmed for it, we voted for it, I find it a little hard to believe that we need another $80,000 to do that. Was the bid given out? Does it have a set price on the RFP?
The RFP, if I remember correctly, stated that it would be $250,000. $125,000 for each plan. They were bid separately. We did also make mention into the RFP that we were up for an ARC grant that was not awarded until after the bids came back for the $80,000. So they were the bidders were made aware that we may have those additional funds, but that that we wouldn't know at the time that we awarded the bids were due.
So they bid it on the premise of $125,000. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What does this additional add to it? What does that add to the scope of the RFP? What additional items are they going to bring forth that we didn't already have?
Well, so what we did strategically, as we talked about it from the bid team, is to hold off at the onset of saying right now this is what we want for the additional $80,000. Having been through this a number of times in the master planning process has various turns and twists as you move forward, and there are certain things that later on in the process that you wish you could have added if you had known about them in the beginning. And I think some of it that we learned through the comp planning process is we had to come back later and add more money for public meetings, so I think that's a possibility, but there's also some other areas that until we get into it we're really not going to know exactly what we want to study. So it could be, as I said, related to, we may determine that our zoning code no longer services these particular areas and we need to some additional work in writing some new zoning. We may have an opportunity for catalytic development where we can develop the proper marketing materials and drawings to be able to attract the developers on the back end of the project into the area as we had planned it. And there may be some other opportunities from a computer graphic standpoint to be able to aid us as that as well. So the plan in my management of the program is going to be to move ahead at the $250,000 level, which is $125,000 for each plan. We're going to hold the $80,000 in reserve and then spend it as necessary. So there is the possibility that we don't spend the whole $80,000 if we don't need it. But I think that there's some good opportunities to be able to enhance the Dunwoody Village plan. Because the other consideration, too, is that with the ARC funding that's given us this $80,000 extra that's not coming out of our budget, on the back end of that, once you've completed the plan and it's grandfathered into the ARC Livable Centers Initiative program, there's millions of dollars of implementation funding that come to that. So the better that your plan is for that particular area, the more likelihood in some cases that you'll have to be able to get some of that supplemental funding. So if we can show specific plans for how we want to do streetscapes in a certain area, intersection improvements, or the addition of green space, we'll have a little bit better chance at the grant funds as well. If we've got a little better plan, it may get us ahead on the back end. But I think strategically, I'm going to try and hold that money as long as I can, get us through, you know, halfway into the process, and then see where we go from there.
Okay, so basically what you're telling me then, and see if I've got this right, it's going to be 125 per, and the other 80 is only as necessary. You know, there's a lot of always nicest things to have, but this would be used on things that are necessary to fully implement the plan. Is that correct?
To fully finish the study. Which may include
spending the money to spend the money. Is that correct?
No, sir.
I have a
Warren, would you be agreeable to, before you spend the $80,000, to come back to the council just to bring back some concern?
Sure.
Are there other questions for Warren on that? All right, thank you, Warren.
Do we need to move to approve?
Yeah.
Is there a condition? I'd like to add that before spending the $80,000, city managers agreed to come back to the council for advice and consent.
Okay, so that's the motion for approval.
If I may, before you finish the motion, just on the memo, we need to award the contract to Urban Collage and authorize the city manager to execute the necessary documents following satisfactory review by legal counsel.
That's fine.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Second, allow our discussion on that.
Question to Brian. Do we amend this to put the Danny's in there at this time, or do we make a separate motion?
I think it's an ought to be done because legal counsel will not approve it unless that language is in there.
Yeah, I think he's there at 7,
didn't he? Yeah, we've got a motion on the floor. We just made a motion on the floor. Now we'll have to amend that because there's no...
Yeah. Adopt the amendment would be the cleanest way.
Okay. Go ahead and make it.
I can make an amendment to the motion that we allow you to use the $80,000 upon the advice and consent of the council.
Second. All right, discussion on that? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so that's...
vote to approve.
Now we're going to vote for approval. That was on the amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Is Catherine still here? She can see what she's missing. Can I be there? She's left. All right. We are on L1. Yeah, we've done K1.
We've done K1.
No.
So you need to do K1. No, this will be the graduates.
I've seen you popping up like that. We will wobble that.
Groundhog.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's my pleasure tonight to recognize our first ever Citizen Police Academy graduates and present them with their certificates. And a Citizen Police Academy is a program that a lot of departments have where you bring civilians in and give them kind of a snapshot over a number of weeks of what the police department's all about and the things that the police department does. I'd like to ask Sergeant Carlson to come up to tell you a little bit more about what they did during their time on the Citizen Police Academy. Sergeant Carlson was at the range all day today. That's why he's dressed like he is.
Apologize for that, gentlemen. Over the past 9 weeks, we've held our first Citizens Police Academy here at City of Dunley, and I want to say it was very successful. I've received a lot of positive feedback from the citizens that did attend over the past 9 weeks. We covered various subjects such as gangs, traffic enforcement. We took a tour of the DeKalb County Jail. We took a tour of the 911 Center. We did a little bit of everything. And what we did is we involved the citizens to our police department and showed them what we do on a daily basis. And I feel they're very receptive to it. I'm going to be lining up two additional classes. However, the response that I got from this first class was overwhelming, and I think they were very pleased. And at this time, I would like to recognize them with our graduation.
At this time also, we thought it'd be good to hear from one of the graduates, and so Larry Etcherson is going to come up and speak for just a minute.
Thank you, Chief Grody. Mr. Mayor, City Council. Larry Etcherson. I'm very honored to have been able to attend the Citizens Police Academy and also to say a few words on behalf of the rest of my class. We're very grateful to the time that Sergeant Carlson, Chief Grogan, and all the officers that participated in the class took from their very demanding jobs to spend an evening with us. Every session was informative, educational, entertaining. There is so much that these guys do, these men and ladies in the Dunwoody Police Department, that I wasn't aware of, and I don't think many of my classmates were either. It's just, they did show us a lot of behind-the-scenes goings-on, and really, Sergeant Carlson put some great instructors together for the classes. I do encourage any Dunwoody citizen who hasn't been to the class to go ahead and take it, because even if you are or were in law enforcement, you'll still learn something from Sergeant Carlson and his instructors. We also learned a lot about public safety, personal safety, and relating to Councilman Shortle's fiscal comments earlier, if there's extra money, we don't pay these guys enough for the stuff they do. They have their city. So
we didn't pay him to say that.
Sergeant Carlson mentioned gangs. This was one eye-opener for me. If you don't think we have a gang problem in Dunwoody, you're wrong. And it was a very interesting class. And I'm glad these guys are out there for us. Sergeant Carlson also did us showed us some other things. He took us to all the Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kremes and told them in DeKalb County, and we appreciate that very much. That was not on the agenda, but we went. And we did have a tour of the DeKalb Jail. 20 students went down, 18 came back. I figured out tonight that the two that didn't come back were the ones who were late to the first class. So, again, I want to thank you, Sergeant Carlson, Chief Grogan, City Council, for allowing us to participate in such a wonderful experience.
Very good. Thank you, Mayor.
We don't want to be late for 24, Mayor, so we're going to go through this real quick and give them their certificate. So when I call your name, if you'd come up, I'd like to present your certificate. The first is Larry Etcherson. That was probably time like that.
Yeah. Those of you that don't know, by the way, Larry also works in our court.
he's one of the fine citizens that do a lot around here for very little to nothing.
Absolutely. Bonnie Brucker. John Carr. Cindy Cedric. Clay Burton. Lindsay Blue. Steve Zisser.
If I'm mispronouncing anybody's name,
that's perfect. Bob Hopkins. Paul Wild. Kevin Leon. Egan. Steve Sino. Jim Maloney.
There he is. He's a regular.
I thought I flunked that when you went calling my name. Jim, you're the first police officer ever by the name of Maloney.
One million.
Scott von Ravensburg.
Didn't even have any help.
We're almost in. Peter Dukoff. Bill Hackaday. Thank y'all so much, and they've got some cake across the hall, so y'all certainly welcome to go eat some cake or stay, whichever you'd like to do.
Congratulations, everybody. You sure you don't want to stick around? You want cake instead of this? All right, moving along. L1 resolution.
A resolution to adopt the City of Dunwoody Community Incentives for Green Building Policy.
All right, Kimberly.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. On behalf of the Sustainability Commission, I'm here tonight to present the Community Incentives for Green Building Policy. At the April work session, we presented the original Green Building Incentives Policy, which recognized green building certification, solar energy, and water use reduction in efficiency by providing expedited plan review to builders in the community that used any one or all of those green building practices. At the suggestion of the mayor and council, we have edited the policy to also encourage the use of pervious pavement material. In the documentation in your packet, all changes made are in red line and stripe here, so they're easy to find. And in addition to recommending this policy, because it fulfills three requirements for the ARC Green Community Certification, we also, staff perspective, recommend initiating a text amendment to the zoning ordinance to make this policy more applicable, and that the pavement definition in the zoning ordinance is very limited, only recognizing impervious surfaces. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Kimberly? Okay.
I'll second. And any discussion on this? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, first reading. Share.
An ordinance amending Chapter 16 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by changing hour restrictions for construction or repair noise.
All right. Discussion on this. Who will start? Okay. Denny and then Robert.
Yeah, this is something that came up some time ago and then sat on the deferred calendar for more than 60 days, so now it's being brought up again. But it's something that I think we need to address, and I think there's a balance here between the need for the industry and also the need for the citizens. You know, I just got a call today from somebody that wanted to change them also because there was a house being built across the street from them. So I changed them slightly here, and what I'm advocating is a change in the, I guess an amendment, if you will. And the amendment would be I think compatible and still had the early starts that some of you were concerned of, and those that were driving in, and it would move the closing time back an hour, which I think for those people that have children that put their children to bed at 8 o'clock, which most of the young families that I know, or at least in my neighborhood do, I think it would abide by them. and then the Saturdays would change to from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. These also mirror what Sandy Springs, our sister city Sandy Springs, do. Of course, both of these would be waived in case of emergency, or can be waived also by the city manager. But I think this strikes a balance of what is needed by the industry and also what is needed by the citizens. And the 8 o'clock was brought to my attention by a few parents with young children because of their, because of the 7:30 closing time, because of their children going to bed at 8 o'clock, and that's the 8:30 went beyond their bedtime. So I think that's a good balance, and I would like to see it for the sake of both sides be passed. And I can make that motion to amend any time, or we can discuss it for a while, and then I'll make it as a motion to amend.
It's for charters,
so we'll have a second read. Robert?
My concern is that this applies citywide, and that there are lots of parts of our city where construction workers should be allowed to start working as soon as it gets light. And I hesitate to set a standard for the whole city. And what I'd like to do is to ask staff if there's a mechanism by which we can set two standards. One citywide, which is broad and allows as much flexibility as possible, and one that could apply that could be a little more restrictive, that is only in R100 or R85. And to make it a byproduct of the zoning so that we don't impact or inhibit the commercial areas of Dunwoody with more restrictive hours, which are basically designed to help residents who are sitting home at their restroom tables. So is there somebody from staff who talked about how or if we could accomplish something like that?
Yeah, I think it probably take a little bit of research on our part to come up with that. We'll certainly be prepared to have that for you at the work session in May. But I'd be tempted to answer you now, but I'd rather hold back when it gets you in May.
Okay. I think Robert's on the right track here. Quite frankly, I think it would be to our benefit, particularly in the economic situation we're in, trying to get development kick-started here a little bit, particularly in the commercial area. I'd say that we need to do everything we can to encourage people to develop in our city, whether it be Perimeter Center or the redevelopment of Dunwoody Village or wherever like that. And I think we need to allow them to work on a 24/7 basis, if that would allow them to save a lot of money on interest and carrying costs in those areas. But in the residential area, I don't really perceive that we had a problem in the residential area at this time. Personally, had. There are people who get up in the morning, and when I'm up at 7:30 or so, they're cutting grass, but I don't perceive that to be a problem.
All right, any other discussion on that?
Yep. To take these to that extent, to start at first light, or, go 24/7, is way beyond the realm. We're trying to strike a balance between citizenry and business here, not go completely to the one side, and I think that's what that does. I mean, nobody has first light or 24/7. I've got Sandy Springs, I got the Caters right here. I know within their quiet hours, are they aren't anywhere close to anything like that. So I don't believe that we should go anywhere close to either one of those extremes. That's just not in good standing with the citizenry here, as far as I'm concerned. So I think we need to strike a balance with first light. I don't know any place like that. I used to be a carpenter. You could not start first light. It just wasn't allowed, I didn't see it. It will not inhibit, in my estimation, growth or construction industry whatsoever. If somebody wants to build here and you've got all the other aspects, the idea of starting at 7:30 and going to 7:30 at night is going to be well within the realms of what they want. I don't know. I just don't know of any place that has those kind of open rules, 24/7 or first light in the morning. I think that's totally out of the reasonable.
I use the expression first light. I think my preference would be that we leave it as is, as a citywide ordinance, and so I'm not suggesting that we make the 7:30 a.m. start any earlier, but I'm not inclined to make it any later, I guess, so just to clarify.
Okay, very good. All right, any other discussion on that?
I'd just like to say this, there is a benefit to, particularly commercial development, if you can cut the development building time in half by working 24/7, you have a little carrying cost there, and I think we need to look at every way we can to in fact, get people to start building.
All right. Move on to item L3, contract amendment for Lowe's.
Did you do the first read, Chair?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. What you have before you now is a proposal to amend the contract that we have with Lowe Engineers for our public works contract. The proposal is to add a full-time parks and recreation manager now that we have the parks in sight to be able to acquire 30 days from the governor's signature. County would have 30 days to hand over the parks and facilities to the city. So this contract amendment would take place upon my written notice, which would be after the parks. We've acquired them to be able to start paying the $12,000 fee. Actually, notice would be after the governor signs the bill to be able to get started, to have somebody to oversee these programs in addition to the existing staff that we have with Lowe. Cost is $12,000 a month for the one position. I would recommend that y'all move ahead and authorize me to execute the contract amendment with Lowe.
All right, thank you, Warren. Any questions for Warren on this? I'll make a motion for approval.
Second.
And second, Councilman Shortle, any discussion? See that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, amendment passes. Do we have any text amendments? Yes, Ron.
I have one. I'd like to initiate a text amendment for Chapter 27, Article 1, Division 1, Sections 1 to 17, to review the definition of paved to include non-impervious surfaces.
All right. So what do we do on this text amendment?
I think we just did it.
Yeah. Good job. All right, moving on to L5.
Do we have to vote on it or?
No.
That's a form member?
No. All right, L5, new item. I'd like for council consideration to submit our three nominees for the branding sounding board. And those nominees would be Debbie Smith, Brian Sims, and Nancy Musselwhite.
Move we approve.
Second.
All right, any discussion on this? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All righty. Public comment? City Attorney, is there any...
Thank you, Mayor. Paige Olson. I live at 1148 Redfield Ridge. I just want to remind Council, Mayor, and the community that Dunwoody High School is going to start its construction the week that school lets out. And we have worked very diligently with the surrounding neighbors, with Chief Grogan, with everyone that we need to be working with so far, but it's going to be a very aggressive schedule. And we are doing our best to comply with all of the wishes of the city. If the time does get moved, the start time, that will certainly impact what we've got planned for this summer session, because we have to have certain things completed, our whole HVAC system, by the time the kids come back to school in August. So Just know that we are doing our best with the design team and the capital improvement office with the school system, and want to work right alongside you guys and making sure we're following all the rules of the city and everything. But please keep in mind that we need 2 summer cycles to complete this job. It's a one-time deal unless we get some extra funding in SPLOS 4 and we can add on to our other wish list. But anyway, just wanted to mention that, and we are willing to work with you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Paige. Stacy here.
My name is Stacy Harris. I live at 5683 Military Drive. I have a handout for you guys. How does that work? Just
Give it to Sharon.
Okay.
If you want, I'll take it up to the council.
I've lived across construction sites for the better part of 2 years. I know the rules and hours by heart. So when this came up, I was surprised because I knew what was in DeKalb County Code. And that is what is in front of me now is when we were unincorporating DeKalb, those were the construction hours of DeKalb County. So apparently when we became a city, those disappeared off the books. I don't know why or how, but they're no longer there. If you have an experience living across from a construction site, here's a couple of the highlights. Walking out of your house at 6:30 a.m. to get the paper, and I have a truck full of workers sitting across waiting for first light. Whatever, if they're right, they're not working. Floodlights on at 10 p.m. to finish the grading of the driveway. Illegal. But, you know, you can call the police and they can warn them, and we must have called the police a dozen times because of hours violations. They never actually ticketed them. They would just come out and tell them to leave. Okay. 50 dump trucks full of dirt running in one day. That's how my 2-year-old learned to count that day. And then my 2-year-old crying because you can go to sleep because at 8 o'clock they still had buzz saws going across the street. Again, it's not. I understand construction. Those houses got built on time, on spec. They're sold, but it's also quality of life for the rest of us. And when you have a child crying because you can't go to sleep, and it's 8 o'clock at night, I don't care about the construction. I care about my 2-year-old. So you can talk about 24/7, but if you haven't lived without across the street from you for 2 years, it's a little bit easier to say that. So just DeKalb County put those in place for the builders. It's a 12-hour workday, a 9-hour workday on Saturday, but there's also some quality of life in there for the existing homeowners. So please keep that in mind as you go into the second read, and know that I didn't make it up. I printed that off to DeKalb County Munis Code 2 hours ago. So it was in place. PCID was built with those hours in mind. Sandy Springs is 7:30 to 7:30. Unincorporated DeKalb inside the perimeter where PCID is 7 to 7. It's workable, and I think DeKalb County actually had that one sorted out rather well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Harris. See, that was the last public comment card. We're not going to break for... Okay, we are going to break for executive session. And this is for legal real estate?
Litigation and real estate.
Litigation and real estate.
Can I just make a comment before we do that?
Hold on a sec.
Ms. Olson? Paige just mentioned, 25 May, they're going to kick off the construction. One of the things we want to do, Warren and Mike, is to meet with the contractor, and this was brought up at the last meeting, make sure we go around the area and probably take some movies and films of the roads and conditions as when they start, so that when everything is completed, that everything is in the same condition as it was when they found it. And their trucks and various other things don't ruin all the roads over there for the neighbors there.
Okay, we will adjourn when we break from executive session and make move that we move into executive session.
Second.
All right, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Cody.
Nice, good to see you.
Over, you're free to go.
Yeah, that's good.